interview with Virginia Collins on January 21st, 1987, in Maize Lick, Kentucky. The interviewer is Lynn David. Now,
and that's all there is to it.
You were born in Maize Lick.
I was born out here on the Raymond Road. I'm trying to tell you, it was the old Allison property, but now the Biddles live there.
Okay.
I was born there, and went to school from there, and the first year I went to school, you know, they had the horse-drawn wagons. Maureen went on horse-drawn wagons. No snow days.
Just wet no matter what?
You wet what, no matter what. And just a little incident, I don't know if it interests you, but Mr. Gazelle drove the wagon. And every morning, I was first grader, he listened to that reading lesson. He knew all about Chicken Little and Sky Falling Down. And I had an adopted brother who was 10 years older than I, but the weather was bad, and I don't know why I didn't go to school. It wasn't very good. And so we got home, and there was an old sow and pigs out in the front lot. And they had told me, they said, if you don't ever, I'm going to go get the little pigs. And they told me, bite me and eat me up. So I told Mr. Gazelle I would not get off that, hell, that wagon. I said, he's going to eat me up, and I'm not going to let him. And he told the boys, he said, you better hold the horses, or I'm going to have a girl for the night. I'll have to carry her to that house. It's quite a little distance. I was born on a farm, lived there till I was about six when we moved to Maysville. And my father had this store up here where you're talking about Masons.
And what was his name? What was his name?
It was H. Dye Collins and Company. H. Dye Collins was Maureen's father. They were partners.
Oh, okay. And your father's name was?
William Collins. William Howe, W.H., everybody called him W.H. And he drove back and forth, and we had a hotel over there. You know, I'm sure you've heard about that, right across where now that garage stands across the map. And he came out here and stayed at the hotel from Monday to Saturday. Oh, we didn't think about driving back. Now, this road was not muddy or anything like that. You wouldn't get stuck, but it was full of chug holes.
Uh-huh.
People just didn't make a trip to Maysville back every day.
Now, what year was this about?
Oh, this would be about 24 or 5 to, no, about 20, let me do that now. I'd say about 1918 to 23, 4.
Now, how come you lived in Maysville? Why didn't he move the family out here to Maize Lick?
Well, I can't answer that. I think he thought probably getting some other business down there, and he sold the farm. He sold the farm, and he just thought there was too much. So we moved back out here and bought this house, honey, for $5,000 and redecorated it and wired it, the whole thing, for $500. And they thought that's a pretty good price, too.
It was.
Yep. Now, you know, you can hardly do two rooms for $500 now.
It's a beautiful old house.
And and before that now, when I was just a little thing, you know where Scott Ross lives? No, you wouldn't. It's out on the Raymond Road. You keep going and you go down what they used to call a big spring hill. They had a little country store out there.
Oh, your dad did?
Dad, Mr. Dye Collins. See, and people didn't drive to Maize Lick. I'll be 76 next month.
Uh-huh.
And that's when before I was six. Yes, and they had a store out, and everybody out, Shannon, and all out around Sars Pike, they didn't go that far. Now, understand they had, both of them were farmers. I don't know if they could have made a living at it, but it was considered a pretty good little business.
Well, I would have thought it would have been.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, and an accommodation, yes.
And so this was out on Raymond Road. There was a store out there, too. Did your father go out there every day, or just?
Well, he didn't live so far from there. See, we're on the farm, man.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
So he could tend to the store and farm at the same time.
Yes. And for first one of them to stay there. Another, you know, they didn't both have to stay there all the time. Mr. Dyke Collins, who was the first cousin of my father, you see.
Now, what was your mother's name?
Well, my mother was a grower. She came from Sardis. And there were originally 14 children, but 11 of them grew to adulthood.
Uh-huh.
There were 10 girls and one boy. And they always called the farm Tennessee for the 10 girls. That's where they got the name for, you see. And there were 10 of those girls. And, of course, they all married and moved different places. And most of them didn't move too far away. I think one moved to Mississippi. But that was just a real interesting thing, you know.
Well, now how'd your folks meet then?
Well, see, Sardis isn't too far from Mays Lick.
No, I know it isn't.
You know.
Yeah.
And, of course, they always, you know, my father, like every other young man, had a horse and a buggy. They tried to keep the buggy in good condition like they tried to keep the car.
Yeah.
And I know my grandmother always, when the girls married, all of them married but one, and she, it took too long, she spent the night. They went to Mays on both their clothes for the wedding and spent the night in New Central Kentucky.
Oh my God.
There was a livery stable down there. I don't know whether you know where Harriet. No, Harriet doesn't live there. It's across the post office, that big red brick house. Her sister,
uh-huh, okay.
In Orange, lives there. Behind that was a livery stable. We just get horses there.
And she'd go and get the wedding fine.
Yeah, she would get the wedding fine rent. And a lot of it, I imagine, was material.
Yeah.
That they really. I don't imagine there's too many ready-made things, but she always went down there and got that and came home. Yeah.
You remember your grandparents?
I was 3 when the oldest one died, and
so you really weren't around your grandparents at all growing up?
No, just what they tell me.
Now, you had an adopted brother, you say?
Yes, and he was killed in a railroad accident. He was 21. That was years ago.
What was his name?
Glenn Collins. It was right. They lived out there on that farm, and they were friends with a man named Mr. Harvey. And he was representative of one of the state children's homes in Kentucky. I don't know if he's one over Linda now. I think that's where it was. And anyway, he saw that they didn't marry young. See, mother was nearly 40 and I was born, like 6 weeks, and dad was 43. And he saw that it meant children, so he had this little boy with him. He said, now it's winter time and I'm going up in the mountains of Kentucky, and I wonder if you'd keep him 2 weeks. And they agreed to keep him 2 weeks. So when he came back, he didn't want to go very bad. And they said, well, where are you going? Someplace. I'm like, well, why don't you leave him another 2 weeks? And he came back the next time. They just couldn't stand the thought. I used to always tell them you were just stupid. That was the point in the first place. And so he was about Gertrude's age. They were in school together.
And so your folks adopted him then?
Yeah. No. Never really legally adopted him.
Oh, they didn't.
But he signed his name Glenn Collins. His name is Jim. But he always signed it Glenn Collins and called him Uncle Will and Aunt Emma. They did all they could to make life pleasant for him, you know. Show him the car and go over and come just like the other kids. That is, as he got older, kids didn't start driving at 16 everywhere.
Yeah.
But he's a little older than that.
Well, you had an older brother.
Yeah.
Somebody to grow up with. Yeah. That was good.
Of course, being 10 years older, time I got married, he was gone away, but, yes.
When you were growing up, on the farm, did you have chores that you had to do, or were you off the farm?
I was too little.
You were too little.
I was in the first grade when we moved.
Moved into Maysville.
Yeah, the first grade when we moved.
Did you help your mom around the house then when you were growing up, or did
she? Yes, as much as she could stand.
You were that bad, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, see, by the time I was 10 years old, she was almost 50.
Sorry.
And, you know, you need to grow up. Well, I mean, She'd just rather than teach me to cook too much, do it herself and get me out of the kitchen. I did a goody little bit of cleaning. Didn't hurt myself. Always had to keep my own room clean. And, you know, there were a bunch of us that stayed. There were a lot of children this end of Maisley. We all played together at night, some were a little younger, some a little older.
What kind of games did you play when you were young?
Mainly hide and go seek. And people had, now I didn't have a pony, but we had a back lot down here. It was fenced off, still got the lot down there. And people lived over here with the Latham's. Their daughter had a pony, and Dr. Yancey's son had a pony. And so they both kept them down here and in that lot. And I just let them know right off they weren't keeping that, those ponies in my lot for nothing. I'd ride one of them in the afternoon, the other in the morning. And that's just about the way it worked out.
Well, it was good. You got a pony. It didn't cost anything.
I got two ponies. And,
yeah.
Didn't cost anything. You know how kids are getting fuss. And, they all had those childhood around.
Now, when you went to school, this school that's here now was
yes,
built.
Yes. Yeah. It was built. It was built, and I went to school. And that terrible winter. Now, I wouldn't have gone, but Glenn would take me. They wouldn't let me go. So I said, now, I remember so the little bits. There was only two people in the first grade. So bad. And they didn't. The principal told her, said, don't try to teach those. You'll have to teach them all over again. Let them go with other kids. And, you know, they let us go in other rooms. I remember that now. I thought that
now,
was
what great. Winter was that? Do you remember?
What?
Which winter was the weather so bad?
I'd say it was about 17, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
Or 18, I'd say. See, we've come to the world, First World War, and damn, that terrible flu, I can still remember that. I lived, no, we didn't, never did own a home place or rent. That house, it's catty-cornered there from Maisel Police Department. I'm trying to think who lives there. I'll tell you. Well, anyway, where the Maisel Police Department was, and that was on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That's was the L&M Depot. And I still remember a lot of bodies were shipped back that had died from the flu in the service and everything. And Dad, he came down the first case of flu in Mason. And then there were. Mm-hmm. Oh, they couldn't do much with that. See, they didn't have these antibiotics.
Yeah.
And many, many people died.
I remember reading about the
terrible flu. And just as a child, I can remember, you know, they would kind of shake their heads, you know, you could see them taking, removing bodies from that freight car.
I expect that'd be pretty traumatic for a little girl to see.
Well, yes, and no, they didn't say too much about it in my presence, but now, it was traumatic, but you know, death doesn't mean much to a child. Yeah. I've never seen anybody dead, never knew. People, none of my folks had ever died, and the kin folks, the neighbors, so I just really didn't know so bad.
So, and how old were you now when you moved out to Maze Lake then?
The second time, I was 10.
10, yeah.
10.
So you went to school out here?
I went to school out here, yeah. Now, I believe Maureen said she told you about, you know, I remember we didn't have lights, that, you know, they had a generator over here across the road. And the lights came on and dark. Well, I don't mean totally dark, but you sure couldn't read. And if you had electric iron, most people didn't, you ironed at night. And I believe they blinked them at 10, or I don't remember if they blinked them at 10, they went off at 10:15, or they blinked them at 10:15, they went off at 10:30.
So anything you wanted to do in the evening, you had to
You had to do it, and I can remember they said, they have blinked the lights. Now you know we are going to be up here in the dark. And if they had a party, they'd keep them on 12 o'clock. And whoever had the party, they'd charge a dollar. And if you could get word, see somebody's having a party, you could keep your lights on at 12 o'clock.
Well, so you just paid the Delco plant an extra dollar?
Yeah, they had the party, or maybe a dollar and a half, keep them on to 12. Maybe it's a dollar an hour. It might be enough.
Yeah.
A dollar an hour, I expect it was. We got a dollar an hour.
Well, now that everybody in town got to keep their lights on.
Well, they didn't know they were having the party. You see. Bay.
I think I had a party about every night someplace, don't you?
But people, let me tell you, they got up early. And see, women didn't have the mechanical devices nor men they have today.
Yeah.
They worked hard.
So it was time to turn the lights off. Everybody's ready for it.
And they had a dance hall over here. And they had a dance one night and somebody was killed.
Do you remember anything about that?
I remember, see, I was just kid sound asleep, scared to death, you know. That's the last dance ever.
Do you know who was killed?
No, and I don't believe it in time. I don't believe somebody here. People think it was pretty rough.
Was it?
Well, maybe it wouldn't have been rough today. I'm actually good to go drinking that kind of stuff, you know. And the pictures show. I don't believe they had that. Oh, once a week, Maureen and I try to think about that.
Did you ever go over to the picture show?
Oh, yeah, I go to the picture show in the afternoon at the picture show. And, of course, they finally tore that old building down. I don't imagine since you've been here, but there was a building. You know, you can see the back of that, how high it is where there was a building. Honey, it had beautiful hardwood floor. Now, they about ruined it. My dad owned that later. Mr. Schwartz over here. Mr. Schwartz is dead. And they just, stored things in it and all. But see, that's the reason it was such a nice dance hall.
Well, yeah. If it had
that nice hardwood floor.
So what they do, set up chairs to watch the movie and then move them back, yeah. They're going to dance. Uh-huh.
Well, now, I don't believe they had movies at night. Now, they could have, but I didn't go. Yeah. And, you know, they used to have a... Now, this is not beyond my day, hardly, I don't think. But not after I got here. Up over where kitchens live, or where they do live.
Uh-huh.
Honey, that's beautiful for us. Beautiful. And they had a skating rink up there.
Did you ever go skating there?
No. The time I got here at 10, that it closed out. I remember going there and buying a pair of skates. But Mrs. Jakey Collin, all people that would be Gertrude's age and older.
Uh-huh.
They did the skating. I don't know if it was Gertrude or skating. I don't think she ever did. But that was the age. And I think they kind of had, you know, masquerade balls and all that stuff.
Well, I've seen where different balls were held in Maid's Lick.
Well, now, and then, you know, I don't know where they're bowling to. You know, we used to have a bandstand over that well.
Was it over the well or near the well?
It was over it, as I recall. I believe I'm right on that. You know, when you're a child, sometimes you get mixed up. And you always, in summer, you had a concert on Saturday night, and everybody went. They sat around in cars, and kids going by ice cream.
Sounds nice.
That was great, you know.
Sounds like a good way to grow up.
That was great. That's a... And your parents went. Of course, now at that time, my dad owned that store, sorry, you see, and Mr. Backup.
So that'd give them extra business, really, too.
Well, I don't know if it happened much. You know, just kids buying. Well, people probably bought some groceries, you know.
Did you ever help in the store when you were older?
No. They sold the store when I was in high school. Oh, I might have done a little something. I didn't think so. I don't recall that. I would help. Now, my father kept the books, and I would help him as he changed the ledger about, four or five times a year, maybe four.
What all they sell in the store?
Everything. Now, I mean, it was a country store. It had all this. Well, when we first moved there, now the people that owned where the funeral home is down there now, the Hoppers. And the Hoppers that owned that had a millwork department upstairs.
In the old
store.
In
but
the store.
They never sold. We played, had about 30, 40 hats left over up there. And, you know, that's where we kids help entertain ourselves. Trying all those hats to sell them to each other. They sold shoes and boots. I mean, ladies' shoes.
But when Hoppers owned it, there was a millinery department upstairs.
Yes.
But by the time the college...
Well, I mean, people that time had gotten to go and maybe a little more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, and, you know... Now, of course, we always had oranges, bananas the year round, but now I've heard my father say, of course, he was an old man when he died. He was 94. And that's what they got for Christmas. They didn't have much money.
Yeah. Well, I think that's...
Fruit and all. But now we've always had... But now I remember that Mother used to... We used to, when I was just a kid, think Joe's house pretty nice with fruit in it. That's what you had for company.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just as everyday as could possibly be now.
Nobody serves it now, or the company, do they?
No.
But it is good.
It is.
Do Do you remember your folks telling you stories about when they were young growing up?
Well, now, Dad, I just wish I had written those down. He had a remarkable memory. And his grandfather came down the Highway River on a flatboat in 1732. That's my great-grandfather.
Yeah. Where did he settle?
Well, I'm not sure at that time whether he lived in Fleming or Mason County.
What was his name? Do you know?
No, sir, I can't tell you my great-grandfather's name.
But he came on a flatboat.
Yes. Well, now, I tell you, I don't know if you've ever asked him about it, but do you realize how old these churches are here?
In Mays Lake?
Yeah. The Baptist Church, I am a Baptist, the Baptist Church, we thought, and I think it is organized, and I believe 1789, a bunch came down on the High River from, most of those are from New, all those Drakes were Baptists, and most of their descendants now are ministers here. But anyway, they don't have many left, you see, mm-hmm. descendants for now. Seminary Parker's one of them, for example. But they came down here on the river, on the High River. And
it's gone.
He came out here and settled. And we had a note from the church in New Jersey several years ago, and it was addressed to the Mays Lake Baptist Church, Mays Lake, Kentucky, if there is such a church in existence.
Oh, it was addressed that way?
Yeah, if there's such a church in existence. And they told how in 1788, but we think they left there in 1788 and got here in 1789. You realize that the 3 years before Kentucky came to the Union?
Yeah.
We were a part of the state of Virginia at that time?
Yes, I knew that we were part of Virginia. But did the Scotch Plains Church have records then of them leaving there?
They evidently did. You know they did.
That's fantastic.
And in 1788. And just as you go in the... I'm trying to think of his name. I know, I think it's Ward.
There was a warder.
It's buried as you go in the cemetery up there. And there's a monument. I have to tell you about that, too. And he was here, of course. The Christian church, they had doctrinal differences. The Christian church split off the Baptist church.
Yeah.
And so he went out to Missouri. I hope I tell you right on this. And died out there on a visit. Well, the church, what I'm trying to think about is about, I think, about 22 years later. Now, you can read that, I believe, on that tombstone up there. They brought his body back here, and that is the site of the first church.
Where he's buried now.
Yes. And his wife, I don't know whether she, now she's buried beside him, but they brought them both back, or whether she lived a little longer and came back, I don't know.
You know where he went to in Missouri?
No. This was
to go back, you say your great grandfather came down on high on flatboats. So you didn't know your grandfather, but did your dad ever tell you any stories that his dad had told him or anything? Or?
Oh, he yes, and I can't tell you. I mean, just about the difficult times they had. I was telling Maureen, you know, I hate to repeat something I'm not sure of. But he was talking about his father or grandfather that went out to Missouri to either buy some mules and sell some, because it was winter, and it was terribly cold. And some fellow went with him, I don't know who it was. And he just got so discouraged in that weather, wouldn't do a thing. He wouldn't get up, lie around out there, and that be more like a covered wagon than anything else.
Yeah.
And he picked it. He told him, said, I'm not going to let you die.
The friend told your...
My grandfather.
Which one of them laid around? Your relative or the
no,
other?
No, the other one.
The other one.
And so he met him. He told him, what Dad was talking about one time he saw him at one of the hotels in Lexington and said, introduced him as a man, said, I would have died. I was so discouraged. He said, if he didn't move, he'll freeze to death.
Yeah.
Says, you're going to move whether you want to or not. He told him, I don't care. I said, well, I care. Not one wants to freeze to death. And, but these were hard times. Oh, I've heard my father you know. Now my grandfather, see, my dad was born 3 years after the Civil War. See, he could hear them tell all those tales about the Civil War. Yeah. Well, there was a, over there, just out of Maysville, there was, on the Fleming Road, there was a Union encampment. And I think they stole about all the chickens, and see, they had to feed the troops. Pigs, anything else they could get, a young calf or anything else. And how the, now he was a tenant over there for Mrs. Lee, her husband was dead. And, well, he really managed it. She just depended on him for everything. And she was land poor.
Well, that happened to a lot of them around here, didn't it?
She was land poor. And this little story, they sent him, his, and my father, grandfather, was a very strict disciplinarian, 5 years old, to Maysville to get some, on this side of Maysville though, three or four miles out of town, on a horse, with a bag of corn to have ground. Well, they told him to come on home, about to go to town. When he got down there, he found out there was a circus. Well, he said he knew how strict his father was, not me, but he just going to go to the circus. And some of the older men realized that a five-year-old didn't need to be, Mazel wasn't very big, but meandered through. So they told him that two of Mrs. Lee's sons, one was dead, another was shot. Well, you know what he did? He turned around and ran home with that horse as fast as he could and told Mrs. Lee she had one boy dead. Of course, wasn't a thing to it. Said there was a bunch of people from Holland came here through drawn train. That's what they told me. So called him Dutch. Well, Dad said, well, she had a sister, Miss Lottie Lee, that was very sick, and she just took to her dad when she heard. And she called my father. And they got all the help they could and started to Maysville to find the box. And so they got down there, but they told them what they'd done. And I know that my grandfather was so disgusted with my father because he said, of course, everybody, all the neighbors and everybody was just torn up to think people through, come through here and do such a thing. And he was going to give him a good bit when Miss Lee told him no. He says, now he did that in good faith. It caused a big sensation and
oh, for heaven.
A lot of heartache, but at the same time.
That's a horrible thing to send him back with.
Yeah. Well, they didn't dream, you know, that she, they all stopped and thought. Well, yeah. He said he came home as fast as he could to tell Miss Lee about her mother.
Now, did his father fight in the Civil War, or?
My father?
No, the great-grandfather.
No, now that would have been, I expect, too early. Now, there's some place in his diary, if I knew where it was, I'd look. I have no idea in 20 years of diary, I wouldn't find it. I know that, I believe it was two of his uncles that came home for the, it's bound to be, because see, he was born just shortly afterwards. They came home for the Battle of Kings Mountain. Now that is a battle that I've never read in history book, but there are many smaller skirmishes, and one was Confederate and one was a Union soldier. And they both went back and fought in that battle. Neither one were killed in the battle, but they came home for the death of the mother.
But they fought against each other.
Mm-hmm. At the battle. And they had to hurry back for the Battle of King's Mountain.
Oh, for him.
As I say, it's not mentioned. I think there were also just little skirmishes around.
Yeah, but that'd be something for two brothers.
Yeah.
To know that they were against their sentiments were that divided.
That's right.
It really was.
If you can think of anything you want to ask me,
like I said, I was interested in stories you heard your dad tell, and you know about.
Well, now, he could tell that, you know, how excited he was, you know, how scared he was so bad. He knew that the mother ought to know what about. One boy was dead, and another was badly hurt.
I can't imagine grown men telling a tale like that.
To a 5 year old. Well, I can't imagine sending a 5 year old down there 2 or 3 miles on a horse. Now, he didn't have to go through Maysville, but he just never had been to a circus and heard about him. But they didn't want him to go, so that's what they told him. Said, you better not go now. You might run into them. Well, that's what they thought the message he'd get. Well, that's not the message he got. He got the message that Miss Lee's son was dead.
You said something about that your father had written this down, didn't
you? Honey, he kept a diary for years.
Oh, he did? Oh,
but that time, he would, maybe at the bottom of the page, he'd said 30 years ago today. I know he wasn't on the date.
Uh-huh.
See?
But he would write in there things that he would remember.
That's right. Yes. It was, they were probably his uncles, you see.
Well, yeah. I think that's...
Yes.
And you, what you, was it a daily diary you kept, or a monthly, or...?
It was a daily diary. The first thing in the morning, he would get up, and... But, honey, it was just little stuff, you know, about... Well, I always recorded the time and the tension. Before I went to bed at night, the time and the tension. And it gave you some idea about the weather, and what he did that day. Somebody was ill, you know, you maybe... Somebody was ill, and he'd say, well, I'm not doing anything. And you could follow that, and maybe in 6 weeks, he'd say, well, I have a bunch of funeral today.
Well, that's really nice. Was that common for him to do that?
Or? No, and it's just too bad he didn't do it. He started earlier. He didn't start it till he was 60 years old. And kept it, oh, I'd say about 30 years. Now, the last years weren't so good, though his mind was... It was just real good until the last 2 or 3 years. He never did get really what you say confused, but it's been there when he did.
Yeah. Well, that's important, though. I mean, it's a daily occurrence. Mm-hmm.
Most of them, you know, maybe they sold a tractor today or something like that. You know. Now, he never had that diary when he was in the store, basically.
When he turned 60,
around 60.
Any reason for him to start keeping one? Did he ever say?
There was an insurance company that gave these, they had full pages in them. And he said, well, I'll just leave one. And he just started up. And so the next year they said, well, they want one. And then he didn't like the time to go down. And Gertrude always gave him a nice diary, full page,
To keep these records. Mm-hmm. Did your mother ever keep any kind of records?
No.
Or
no.
Just your dad?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think that sounds nice.
Well, a lot of people would call if you were selling ordinary.
Well, I expect so if you were.
You know, if they knew, if it was in that, it's just something happened here, you know. It wouldn't have to be in the family at all.
Yeah. But he knew, and then he'd write it down, and then he'd call him.
Say, well, when so-and-so died, When so-and-so's house burned down.
I think that's neat. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
When you were little, what kind of entertainment did your family do, your folks do for entertainment? Was there anything in particular? Or?
No. Well, now, they were, the people entertained a lot then. I mean, we always had to have all those sisters once a year. Maybe
that'd be a full house there.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean we had them all the time. Well, you'd have 2 or 3 of them at a time. And I did that several times a year. I imagine after church, they'd come by. Now, people see them, especially the road horse and monkeys, and even when they had the first cars. I don't know, we hadn't got the first car out here. I was, the one, how old was I? I wasn't 6. But the roads weren't very good. And remember, we had icing glass curtains. You know what I'm talking about? If it rained, see, there were touring cars.
Uh-huh.
And you snapped those in if it rained, you know.
What kind of car did your dad have first, you remember?
Buick. Yeah.
That had been quite a treat then, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, we bought a Olds in 19...
39, and I ran into the bill of sales. It was $696.
That's quite a bit of money, 39. Mm-hmm.
But still not as out of proportion as the car would be today. You can't buy a real good red wagon for that.
No, you sure can't.
That's right. And we drove that old car and drove it. And then I came back here to teach, and we used it for 28 years. And it was all, the kids called it Willie Oates. When I go to school, it was always Willie Oates. So I remember telling Alice Whalen, his principal, I said, oh, I had a lot of foolish stuff. And I told him, I said, now, Willie Oates, 21 when our birthday party. Well, it was 21 when I So I went to him, I said, we got that ask him, he thought that was great. So we had cake with Willie Oates, happy birthday on it, and candles. I've never done anything I've taught the tickle kids as much, you know.
Well,
they were in the eighth grade, they all thought that was the greatest thing. They all had whistles, and of course we had refreshments. And that Willie Oates, he told me, he says, you arrange that in your room, Hollywood music. And when they come back, then you'll be ready for them.
Oh, so. I think that's sharp.
Well, they engine. Well, it on the front page, Independent, with letters that high, had Willie Oates comes of age. And down the bottom, one of the kids called up asking to put it in. And I said, now it's exciting, I want the paper. So they said, all right, you get the facts.
So I said, yeah. When your dad got out of the grocery business, then what did he do next?
Well, he got over here at Maisley Kiffin Company. They sold international products.
Uh-huh.
And it was a good business. Now, I didn't make a lot of money, but he kept two families. The Schwartz family, ours, Mr. Schwartz's. Mm-hmm. Dad really put up the money. Mr. Schwartz was a much younger man and a great mechanic. And Dad, what you'd say, kept store and sold the parts and did the books. Somebody had to be there.
So
and then he sold. Well, he was in his 70s when he said, well, after he just retired, I'd say, maybe 76 or 70.
Now, when you graduated from high school here at Maisley, and then where did you go on to school?
Well, the first year, I went to Brenham College in Gadsden, Georgia.
How come you chose that?
Well, I'd see pictures, and there'd be canoeing and horseback riding and that stuff. And Mr. Rolfe, that's Mary Parker's father, was president of the bank, and Normally, he was cashier at the time, he was later president. And Dad was president, and they went on a trip together. And I wrote Mr. Rolfe, I said, see, if you can talk to my father and send me to an alcohol, I'd be going to do any good. And he wrote back, he said, I'm going to try.
Now, your dad was president of the bank here at one time?
Yeah, he's president 32 years of the bank here at one time. On two different occasions. Uh-huh. And that's the only person that I know until now. You know, I don't think they deliberately kept it in the family, but see, it came, the Mitchells and the Rolfs. Mr. Sanford Mitchell, and then Mr. Rolfe, and then the next president was James Rolfe, you see. Of course, Holton's president now.
Yeah.
But they just knew banking business.
Uh-huh.
That's the reason. There wasn't anything that they didn't want to do. No.
But they talked to your dad and sent you to George's college.
The first year. And, well, I did spend a lot more money than that, sir. And he said, now, we're not going to go through that. He didn't ever come. So then I graduated University of Kentucky. Well, I got my master's degree.
When did you graduate from?
From UK, 33.
And then you went back and got your master's?
Many years later.
But you taught the whole time?
No. After that. After I graduated the University of Kentucky, you won't know much about this, but they had a Women's Missionary Union training school. It's a Baptist school put out by the Southern Baptist Convention. And I went there 2 years and got a master's in religious education and went to the mountains and did, for a little while, I just did general mission work and worked in, walking down those, hollers. You know, taught Bible school and taught Sunday school and did everything there was to do. And then I moved over to Campbell, Kentucky and lived there. And
worked for the Baptist Women's Missionary Union in Kentucky in 14 counties, just traveled and worked with young people and the women. Then my mother got sick. She got sick. And I was the only child. And I had a friend who was a bit along the edge of the road. He said, I just think you better come home. As soon as I walked in, I knew something had to be done. And I didn't go back. I didn't resign for a while. I told them to wait, and they said, that's fine. But I can see I can. And then my mother lived about 18 months, and I wouldn't leave my dad. He was in his 70s. She was 69 when she died.
Now, you working in the mountain area. That one must have been a unique experience, wasn't it?
Well, I loved it.
The type of people you met?
Well, there were a lot of, there's no finer people than real mountain people. I remember that. They like you, they like you. They don't like you, they don't like you. And they don't mind letting you know.
How do they feel about you coming in an outsider?
Well, of course, they've seen some other outsiders, but I just got along fine.
Is there anything unique about them that stands out in your dealings with the people?
Well,
or any characters you
mean? No. I was remember we had a little mission church. And I was in front of her. And the preacher, he was giving them, and then the state mission board helped out and didn't get much of that. And there was a very wonderful man who was a manager of the, IGA store. And he was just fine. Everybody loved him. He was the only deacon we had. He was the Sunday school superintendent. He was the trustee. He was the janitor. He was the treasurer.
He just did it all.
He did it every bit. And he told the Sunday school class. I told the Sunday school class. The preacher told the Sunday school class. I don't believe that there were but four of us that had any income at all.
Do you have a lot of people attending services?
No. No. You know, you start these new things, it's hard. But now, I don't need that one. Maybe 25 or 30. If we had 50, I'd be off the ground, which is very sad. But I remember that we rented an old pressing shop. And we had benches in, just like you'd have in church, hard looking at it. And it leaked. And at Sundays it leaked, everybody just moves up the sand and everything goes in there. And I used to tell them, and then some of these town churches would send us old songbooks. Well, an old songbook's all right, but it would burn me up with the last 50, maybe not 50, but 10, 15, 12 pages would be gone, you know, were they? And the first 10 or 15, but no, it was a great experience. I wouldn't take anything from it. I learned how there were four people. Then I learned, then, at first, I lived. Well, you know, like Christian Church down there, Christian Church you attend, that room off Pulpit on the left, well, that was Lincoln, and that, now, and they built beyond that room, about three rooms and a bath for the pastor, but that was my room, that Sunday school room, it went all the way back. All I had to do was Sunday school, just walk out there off Pulpit and went down.
You were raining down.
Oh, yeah. But now, that wasn't the same church. It was a much better. It was a, see, the mining company had built this building. It wasn't anything fine, but it was just a typical rural church. Yes, a frame building.
They're pretty, though. They had their simplicity, yeah. I think.
And then they had, then I lived with a young couple. And, you know, all the houses are like in a mining camp. But something, so you can tell yours. Of course, you can count if nothing else. But it's a little, but people didn't take much pride in it. See, they paid the rent. And the rent included the lights. There were people that never turned the porch light off. Never. They didn't pay for
it. You said you went up to Hollis and you talked to the women.
Well, I mean, I said up to Hollis. You know, churches would be up Hollis. You know, what would you talk to them about, though? I mean, how did
well, they were, we would try to organize. It was a Baptist church, a woman's work. And usually, that's where we went, you see. And they would come and down to the little church building. A lot of times they referred to it as a meeting house. A lot of intelligent people, very. And there were some people you couldn't depend on. But I wouldn't consider doing today at my age, if I were able, what I did in my early 20s. I just went any place, walked through all those mountains, paid no attention to it. It would be very unusual if a man would accost a woman. It really would be. Now, that would never happen. Now, I didn't do that at night.
Yeah.
But in broad daylight, as lonesome as if you were 50 miles from anybody.
No, they respected you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they may not know who it was, but yes, I didn't. A time or two I felt uneasy, but I don't really think I had any reason to. Mm-hmm. But not uneasy enough to do it again.
You've taught quite a few years.
I taught 24 years, basically.
Did you see a lot of changes in educational system through the years?
Yes, but not, see, I got sick and I had to stop in 70. But the biggest changes, I saw more change in the attitude of the children toward the teacher and the parents toward the teacher. You know, there was a time that a child wouldn't, it would be very unusual for a child to sass the teacher, and the other children, most of them, would not like it. They wouldn't like that. But it got to the point that there were certain, you know, kind of ringleaders, they thought that was kind of good. Did they get back?
What do you think caused the changes?
I don't know. Well, people just don't have, I don't really think, not everybody. I know some people who have it today, certainly. But generally, I don't believe people accept responsibility like they must do.
For their own actions?
For their own actions or the actions of their children either. And so much is optional. If you want to do it, it's all right. If you don't want to do it, it's okay. You want to know your lesson, huh? You want to cooperate? That's fine, but if you know it. We don't have the religious strength in this community. I don't think. You know, all these people saw their children went to Sunday school and church. And the main church families, I would say, do that now. But people would like for their children to go pretty well if they did or didn't. I don't know if they made them.
Well, the churches in many sense were centers of the town, weren't they? I mean,
yeah.
Social
yeah.
centers as well as religious
yes.
centers.
Atmosphere. What the car made a big difference. Of course, I can't remember when we didn't have cars, but not everybody just, anybody wants to go to Mesa, let's go to Mesa.
Yeah.
You know, they don't think about the time, they don't think about the cost. That is no problem.
But when you were a young girl, though, wasn't...
When I went to Basil, I cause ran around these Clark girls. But they wouldn't let me go to Basil every day in the car. They just didn't think that was necessary.
Now, as you became a teenager, what kind of social activities did the teens and things like have?
Well, mainly whatever they had at school, the ball games, a few parties, and at church. That's what they were.
So the kids stayed pretty close
yes.
to home, too.
Yeah, they didn't. I used to run around a few girls down Morrison, not much, as I got to be a senior, you know. The Maisley gym was, I was the last class to graduate in the present building over here, for the apartment staff.
Uh-huh.
Now, like Ms. Johnny Maines, and let's see, Claude Mason, and James Piles, the first class to graduate in the new gym. And, you know, things are more community-centered. Oh, I mean, we all went to the picture shows and Maze and all that. Anything you want to see, if you had the money, and most parents, I read the other day that they used to sell tickets 35 and 50 cents, are now $5 to $10.
Yeah.
But you were a little more accountable to your parents. Children, not many. The children just weren't permitted to stay out all night. Now, that's all there was to it.
So you think discipline?
I think school discipline changed more than anything. I really do. And teachers, they don't like to tell it. I mean, it's nothing against them, but they just keep that more or less themselves. But most will admit to you that it's not easy to discipline children. Now, I noticed this picture of Mary Wood in the Fleming County Shopper today. Now, she's an old woman, and it's a terrible picture of her. I'm like, well, anybody ever left in there. And she was a great teacher. And she said, we didn't have discipline problems. Just didn't have it. All of a sudden, be so rare that it didn't amount to that much. You never heard why, but people didn't know you could take a teacher to court. Now, I don't know if they've been done around here, but they all know it can be done.
Yeah, so they break down.
Well, you just do the best you can do. And if you ever taught school, you know, you soon learn, don't tell a child that you're going to do so-and-so if you don't intend to go through with it. Because you've got yourself in a real mess, you see. If you told you're going to, and then you can't or won't, it's just better to handle it the best you can and not put yourself in that kind of position. But there are a lot of fine kids yet.
Now, at one time, there were some seminaries in Mays Lake, weren't there?
Well, I forget about this building right across the road. I don't know, was it called Hedge Seminary, Hedge College?
I've heard about Hedge College. Do you know
across the road? And then behind did that building burn? That alley go down there with the pool and go up a hill there.
Okay.
There's a school there.
And that was a seminary?
I gave the history of the Mays Lake School. I don't have it with me. I don't have it now. But I forget, there were no public schools in Kentucky public schools until early 1800s. I can't remember that. I feel like it's about 1837, but I wouldn't want to think something. See, children didn't go to school in those days. They didn't have a formal education. Unless their parents were able to pay tuition. And the schoolmaster might be the preacher or just a traveling schoolmaster like Ichabod Crane was. And he had to depend on a little tuition and to make any kind of living. And usually they lived they lived 1 month with one child's parents, another month with another.
Yeah. Well, I had heard about Hedges, but I didn't know too much about it.
Well, now,
heard that it was...
I imagine Mary Parker went to school over there. Now, I believe when Bill Cropper bought that, and they did a little renovating, they found a blackboard in one of those rooms. If you've never been in that house,
No, I never have.
Well, the rooms are, there's four big rooms, and they've built two small ones on the side over here. They make school rooms, old-fashioned school rooms. I think they've lowered the ceilings.
Uh-huh.
It's the biggest kitchen I've ever seen. In that house over
there. Is it?
Oh, my, it's enormous.
Wait, go back. I know I'm jumping on you, but how did you and your family celebrate the holidays?
Well, now, honey, we didn't do much celebrating. We always went at Christmas out to what we call, it was my great aunt, Aunt Annie, out here. Now, that is Maureen's and George Williams. Gertrude went too. See, Gertrude and I are first cousins.
Yes.
And Maureen's father and our fathers were first cousins. But we always went out there for Christmas Day. It was a great time. I can't remember when we didn't go out there for Christmas Day.
What did you do out there? You were giving your gifts there?
No. Oh, no, we didn't do that. Somebody might bring you a gift, but you always had gifts at home. Well, I remember there were several of the younger women. I mean, now, not my generation, the very next one. You know, they played the piano and sing. And all the younger ones would eat in the breakfast room, and our mothers and fathers in the main dining room. And then two of the young ones of that generation that weren't married, they ate with us out there. But they always served, we had just as much to eat, but they always served them first. And it gave me a great respect for them, you know. We all thought that's right. And nobody objected to that. And maybe all the older ones would leave, and maybe some of the young ones would stay there for supper. Eat supper, you know, sing again, and play around this way.
It was a good, joyous gathering.
You know, nothing special. And of course, all my birthdays, they always had a cake and gave me a little something extra.
Did you have a Christmas tree here at home?
Not too long. But I remember a Christmas tree out on the farm, and my father was such a cautious man, I'll never understand it. He always had a bucket of water, I remember, and they lit red candles on that tree.
Bet it was a beautiful thing.
Well, I don't think we'd think it was red. Had popcorn, we have screen popcorn. That's all they had. Popcorn and
red. Did you make any other kind of ornaments for it, or is that?
No. No. See, I left there when we were six. I can't remember. And then we started going to Aunt Annie's. Now, we may have gone before. I don't know.
So when you were going to Aunt Annie's, then you didn't have a tree here at the house?
Well, sometimes we did, yes. Yes. Yeah. I just can't remember when we stopped that, but when I was growing up, we had a tree. Yeah.
Birthdays were special, though, at Colin's house.
Well, I always got one nice present of some kind, and you know what I like to eat in a birthday cake. See, honey, when you just had one child, you can't make as much over holidays as you ever had with us. You know, there's just not as quite as much going on.
Yeah. What about Easter and Thanksgiving? Did you celebrate those holidays?
Well, not Easter, no. Thanksgiving, you know, I always had a dinner at the school.
Well, I've heard about the homecoming.
Oh, my. There never was anything to equal those dinners. Everybody went to the school Thanksgiving. This wouldn't be, see, that's one way that's the way they got at first when they built this building. They had to get the blinds and things. That's the way they got them. They had a Thanksgiving dinner. And a couple of years, they had nearly everything donated, but people couldn't do that. They donated hams and turkeys when they weren't worth so much, you see. And when they kill more hogs and all. And they cleared $800 two years earlier. They had a basketball game in the afternoon. Little kids had play in the afternoon. The junior class had play at night. Then they had oyster stew for supper. And if you preferred this plain meal, they just served you heated over what they had for lunch. Dinner, I mean just dinner. They had turkey and oysters and ham and fruit salad, chicken salad, and I can't remember what kind of bread they had. I can't imagine they had hot bread. I don't know how they see, they cooked all this on coal stoves. Well, they didn't cook the turkey. It was cooked before they came in the ham. They couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But they, all those oysters, and then they had a couple of vegetables and pumpkin pie, and that was 50 cents. But if you want ice cream and homemade cake, you paid an extra quarter. Paid 75.
That must have been something, though, all the people in the town getting together.
It was. Oh, a lot of times you have to wait for the second table. You have to make reservations at first.
Oh, you did?
Or get there awfully early, and if there were a few places left over, I'm sorry. Yeah. All this old homemade candy. Yeah.
Makes you hungry thinking about it, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yeah. Well, it was delicious food. You couldn't buy a meal like that, I don't know any place but Denmark.
I'll tell you one thing about Maze Lake. I've yet to meet a bad cook in this town. And I wouldn't miss a church dinner for anything.
They do have awfully good cooks. I think especially at the Christian church. I do.
I just think that reminds me of where I grew up, all the homemade food.
Of where is your home? Where is
Missouri.
Missouri.
But there's good cooks in Maze Lake. Mm-hmm. Your mother may not have let you cook, but most of them I think did because they really go at it.
Well, that's right. Well, they weren't good cooks of me. Of course, they don't cook like they did. They don't have the cream and all like they once did. That's more. It's better for you. But
I don't care. It still tastes awful good.
Well, they got that rich cream and creamed those llamas and peas and corn pudding with cream. It's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for letting me come.
Well, you're more than welcome. But I've
enjoyed it. I appreciate it.
Well, it's just fine. I'm glad to have you. But I don't know how much help this is going to be.
It's been a while.
You can use it if you can.
Well, I sure can.
And if you can't, well, that's I think that's what we do for everything. We take what we can with what somebody else gives us and discard what we can't.
But it has been enjoyable. Mm. You're a nice lady.
Well, thank you.
I don't know if anybody's ever told you that.
Well, thank you.